And now Claremont County health officials are working to raise awareness about suicide prevention. The county ranks 12th in the state for the number of people who die by suicide. And joining Cincinnati Edition to talk about it is Claremont County Mental Health and Recovery Board Executive Director Karen Shera. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you very much, Michael.
So tell us a little bit about the numbers that you're seeing in Claremont County as it relates to suicide.
Our numbers are up, and most of the increase can be attributed to an increase in completed suicides by women, but mostly men in their 40s, 50s, and older.
Yeah, what are you finding? What are you finding about middle-aged men and this new relationship or this growing relationship with death by suicide?
It's not just in Claremont County. You'll see it all through the country. And what has been noted so far is that the numbers are higher for men who have not been to college, have not graduated from college. And some of the reasons, I think, kind of make sense. It's the economy. It's finances. The recession back in 2008 started, I think, some of the issues. It can be interaction with criminal justice or legal issues, family, health. But a lot of depression. And that's a population that doesn't generally reach out for help.
I think I said that Claremont County had the state's 12th highest suicide rate. I see now that it's the 16th highest in the state. So I apologize for that error. But you track some numbers from 2008 to 2017, and, mm-hmm. and you counted 310 individuals in the county alone over that period that had died by suicide.
Yes, very much.
What appears to be the most common method that people are turning to for this?
Unfortunately, it's firearms. And I think what has also changed in the number of people who complete suicide is that when you're using the more lethal means, firearms and also sometimes hanging, it happens. You don't have a chance. Back when it was more pills and things like that, sometimes people were found in time and they got help and they went on with their lives. And usually with hanging and especially with firearms, you make that decision. And it is lethal.
So on Tuesday, you will have your 18th annual candlelight vigil.
Yes.
What happens at this ceremony?
We have been having this in a way, I think, to help people who have experienced a suicide within their family or with their friends to have a place that they're around other people who feel the same way, have experienced what they've experienced. And we hope that it helps with hope and healing and a chance to recognize that person. I think when someone dies by suicide, it's not always the same as with an illness or something like that. And I think people feel isolated. And to know that there are others that have been through that and that there are things they can also do to help in the terms of suicide prevention, I think is a good thing.
You also have a 24/7 hotline. A lot of governments or organizations will offer this to folks who feel like they're struggling and possibly thinking about taking their lives. Mm-hmm. What happens when someone calls that number?
We have three clinicians on at all times, and they immediately triage the situation, whether it is something so of an emergency situation that they need to get EMS or police there. Is it something where they need to go out, because we do have a mobile crisis unit also where they can go on scene, or is it something they can just do in talking with the person, maybe calming them down, maybe offering an appointment the next day? So they're trying to make a very quick decision. How serious is this person's issue and what should we do to help? But everything's about preventing anything from happening to them.
What about a relative who has someone in their life that they think may be contemplating this or may be vulnerable to it? What type of resources are available for them?
They can call the hotline as well and maybe talk and share what's going on, and they might be given some advice about what to do, or if it's even imminent, to maybe get the person to a hospital, to a doctor or something like that. But they can call any of our resources. They can call the board, and we can certainly let them know. NAMI, the National Association for Mental Illness, is a resource, a great resource for family members to learn more about mental illnesses and what could be happening with their loved one and how maybe to approach them and how to help them to get the treatment they need.
What type of toll does it have? What type of toll does suicide have on survivors, people who've lost a loved one to this?
I think it's always very difficult. People sometimes blame themselves. They feel that they've missed something. They miss signs. Why didn't we know? We have heard from family members and friends that when there's no note and they really don't understand what had happened, I think that's what's really hard for them to deal with. But I think what they really need is that support and help to go on and to keep living their life and to remember the good things with that person and not how it all ended, and to celebrate them and remember them just the way they would with anybody else that they lost.
You talked about the signs that people feel like they may have missed. What are some of the signs that people should be on the lookout for in case somebody may be struggling?
There's lots of different warning signs. Some of the more obvious ones are that people that really start withdrawing from friends, from things that they normally do. Sometimes they give away things that have a lot of meaning to them, to friends and family. Sometimes you will see somebody who maybe had seemed depressed or upset suddenly seeming better, and everyone thinks, oh, everything's going well. Sometimes that's because they now have a plan, and what they're happy about or what they're moving forward with is their ability to do something to stop that pain, the only way they think they can.
You're also offering some training?
We're offering a lot of trainings in this coming month. There is kind of a little like a competition about how many counties or how many people in counties can be trained in QPR, which is a way for people to understand a little bit more about mental illness, the warning signs of suicide, and maybe recognize it in people that they know so that they can help them get help. And so those trainings are being offered throughout the month of September. They're offered all year, but we're doing more this month because it's Suicide Prevention Month.
So what happens at the training? What type of skills are people learning?
It's not, you don't have to be a clinician. It's not anything like that, but it's things to look for, ways to ask people questions, how to sort of find out and talk with somebody that you think might be having depression or thinking those kind of things, and then what resources to go get. Because again, you can't deal with that yourself. You need somebody professional, but how to put all of that together and then get that person to the kind of help they need.
Claremont County is joining 14 counties across Ohio for Stand Up to Suicide all September long. The QPR that you heard referenced there is a reference to question, persuade, and refer. It's a 90-minute training that will be available to folks. There are various dates available. We've got a link at WVXU.org inside the Cincinnati Edition tab that will take you to the Claremont County page with details on that. The 18th annual Candlelight Vigil is September 10th. It is National Suicide Awareness Day, 7 o'clock tomorrow night at Riverside Park in Milford. More details, WVXU.org. Karen Scherer is the executive director of the Claremont County Mental Health and Recovery Board. Thanks for being here and chatting with us today.
Thank you so much, Michael, for putting some information out there about this.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives online, I'm Michael Monks.